we discussed that there's a biblical prohibition to squeeze out juice from fruits that are generally used to squeeze out their liquid. So we said an example of that would be an olive, generally used to make olive oil. A grape is generally used to make grape juice and wine. So those would be biblically prohibited to squeeze, to squeeze out their liquid on Shabbos, right? Our sages prohibited squeezing out fruits, not only the squeezing of them, which is biblically prohibited, but those fruits which are biblically prohibited. So the sages prohibited the juice that would come out of them, even if it comes out of its own accord. So let's say you own an orchard. You have a bunch of grapes, and you've just harvested your grapes. Now, what happens is they fill up a truck with grapes, and from the sheer weight of the grapes, one on top of the other, you have a lot of grape juice that forms. So they use that grape juice. Now you have a pile of grapes sitting there. You've emptied out all the juice on Friday afternoon. And as the grapes sit there, one weighing on the other, by the time you come back from shul Friday night, by the time you come back from shul Shabbos morning, there's again a pool of grape juice on the bottom of that pile. Are you allowed to stick in a cup and take some of that fresh grape juice? You didn't squeeze it out on Shabbos. It just squeezed itself out, the sheer weight. So here our sages made a rabbinic prohibition. They said that being that squeezing the grapes is biblically prohibited, so you can't use the juice that was squeezed out on Shabbos, even though it happened on its own. We are concerned that if you can take some of that grape juice on Shabbos, then you might just push your hand down a little bit to have a little bit more grape juice.
Or even just assemble the grapes in such a way that it would happen on its own. Therefore, it's indirectly squeezing the grapes.
No, so Chazal were concerned that he would directly squeeze the grapes. Yes?
Since it's like Derabanan, how do we deal with the fact that it's possible at least that it came out before Shabbos came on? Wouldn't we treat that leniently? Because in your example, the grapes could have pressed and the grape juice could have come out before the onset of Shabbos. It's not necessarily nullified on Shabbos. There's a chance, and since it's Derabanan, wouldn't we treat that leniently?
So that deserves a broad discussion. Like Amichai mentioned. What? So Amichai says that in Tractate Beitza it says that Tavar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, being that on Matzah Shabbos it would be permitted, so we're more stringent with it because it's only a matter of waiting. The truth is that there's room to discuss a few aspects of that question. Okay, it's a good question.
Someone's eating like an orange, like a really nice juicy orange, and you see that as you're eating it, like I guess the pressure from like you when you're chewing down, like the juice falls down to your plate or something.
So it's a great question. Let's see. We're going to get to that a little bit later. Okay. Even in a situation where the person was assembling the grapes for consumption. You put a pile of grapes in a bag in the fridge and you were planning on eating those grapes. And then when you come on Shabbos to eat the grapes, you see a pool of grape juice on the bottom. So even in such a case where you'd say, I'm not going to squeeze those grapes, I mean to eat those grapes. I say, just say, yeah, but maybe you'll change your mind. You know, and it's a biblical prohibition. So even fruit that was set aside for consumption as fruit, if that fruit gave off a juice, and that's a fruit that's biblically prohibited to squeeze, the rabbis say, rabbinically, we won't let you use that juice that was produced on Shabbos, that came out on its own on Shabbos, you can't use it on Shabbos. What about fruits that are only rabbinically prohibited? Aval bepirot sheyesh b'schitatam rak isur d'rabanan. If you have fruits, let's say you have peaches. Most of the peaches in the world are not used to make peach juice. So there it's only rabbinically prohibited to squeeze a peach and get the juice out. So then, gazur rak aleilu sheloch nisam la'achila. The only time the rabbis would prohibit you from taking juice that was that came out on its own would be if you really amassed those peaches in order to create peach juice. There, our sages were concerned that if you're going to be allowed to drink that juice, so then sof kol sof, yicholim lavo lisochtam, you might ultimately end up squeezing them. If you have a pile of peaches waiting to be made into peach juice, so then I'm concerned, even though ordinarily that people don't make juice out of peaches, and that's why it's only rabbinically prohibited to squeeze out their juice. But part of the prohibition, the rabbis also prohibited the juice that comes out on Shabbos. And if I'm going to end up squeezing my peaches, so then if people are going to start squeezing out juices on Shabbos, it's very simple for them to start squeezing out oranges and lemons and grapes, etc. on Shabbos.
Squeezing lemon juice onto fish or onto food itself is kosher.
So when one squeezes out a lemon, let's say, so if you'd squeeze it into a cup, that's prohibited because lemons are used for juice all over the world. It's a common use of a lemon in our day and age. On the other hand, the Talmud says that if you squeeze a lemon or something else onto a solid, so then we say it almost didn't have any representation as a liquid. It went from the lemon onto the solid, even if it doesn't get absorbed by the solid, like on a salad, right? You have a vegetable salad, you have cucumbers. You're going to squeeze the lemon onto the cucumbers. So then we say, being that it went from solid to being solid and only had that split second in the air before it hit the solid, that's okay. That's permitted. That's, again, provided that you did it onto a solid. So if you want sugar and lemon in your tea, you would have to squeeze the lemon onto the sugar, so long as there's still sugar there. You know, if there's a bunch of lemon juice and no more sugar, it's all dissolved, then you didn't do anything, right? Provided that there's much more sugar than there is lemon, so then that's okay, because it went from solid to solid. And then you put that into the tea, right? Or the tea into that, whatever.
Another question on this. If you were to squeeze the lemon onto a salad and then it kind of collects at the bottom.
Right, that's okay.
That's okay, but you're able to use it to dip challah in and as a sauce?
If you squeezed it onto the salad and later on you have a puddle of lemon juice on the bottom and you want to drink that or do whatever you want with it, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
The example they said with the grapes that you put aside already and the juice at the bottom, is the juice like mukta? Can you at least throw it out if you don't want the grapes sitting in all this juice?
I think it is mukta, if I remember correctly.
So that's sort of the problem if you want those last two grapes that are sitting in a tunnel of grape juice now?
I think so, but I want to look it up. It's discussed over there. I'm just not sure I'm remembering correctly. So I want to double check. Yeah?
When you were talking about the pile of peaches, you said it's important, it makes a difference if it was gathered with the purpose of squeezing it out. But does it matter whose intention it was? Whether you gathered it and it was your intention to squeeze them, or someone else had the intention to put them there in order to be squeezed?
I don't think it matters.
It generally doesn't matter whose intention it is in these cases.
So long as it's someone who controls the peaches. The question arises, the big question is, what happens if you want to eat the peaches and your son wants to make peach juice? So your 9-year-old goes and gathers and brings home a bag of peaches and says, I'm going to make peach juice on Matzah Shabbos. And you walk in on Shabbos and you say, no, we're eating those peaches. then you have a problem, right? Who can decide? That's where it gets complicated. That's what I said, it gets complicated, right?
There's lots of this stuff. You can see why people get stricter, because there's lots of things that complicate. When you gave you sugar and lemon example, I mean, that's lemonade, how you make it. But
if you end up with more liquid.
Keeping it as a solid.
If it stays in solid form, yeah. Right. The whole point is that you don't have a liquid here. Your whole point is that you don't.
Right. You have to put very minimal amounts of lemon on sugar.
Right. Or a lot of sugar, right.
Or a lot of sugar, right.
Right. Yeah, so the logic here is very simple. If you've gathered the peaches to eat, then we're not so concerned you're going to come to squeezing out the peaches. So even if the peaches produce the juice, you could drink it and enjoy it, because the rabbis were not concerned you're going to start squeezing the rest of the peaches.
Wait, did you just say you can't do that? Did you say you can't?
With fruits that are not ordinarily used for juice, are not biblically prohibited to squeeze, only rabbinically prohibited. If those fruits were brought inside with the intent to be eaten and not turned into a juice, so then the juice that comes from them on Shabbos may be drank. Here, our sages were not concerned that you're going to come to squeezing more peaches, because your intention is to eat the peaches, not to squeeze them.